Further on the shooting in Darwin last night, police have confirmed that the alleged gunman who shot dead four people in the city centre early yesterday evening, was on parole and was wearing an electronic monitoring bracelet. At least one woman was injured during the shooting rampage, which spanned five crime scenes. Four people were killed, of course. Amos Aitken is the Northern correspondent for the Australian newspaper. He joins us from Darwin. Amos, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Morning, how are you going?
All right, Amos, this is a shock for your city there, no doubt about it. This man was on the loose for an hour, at least an hour, in Darwin, and these crimes took place across a few crime scenes. Can you describe for us how it unfolded and what part of Darwin we're talking about?
Look, we're talking about central Darwin. I think police are still piecing together the order of events, but what we do know is that they received a call shortly before 6 p.m. local time last night, alerting them to enact shots fired at one CBD location, and a few minutes later, another call alerting them to shots fired at a different CBD location. Over about the next hour, what seems to have transpired is that a Caucasian male who's now in custody, 45 years old, who we're not naming for legal reasons, went on a rampage through Darwin that left at least four people dead and, as you've said, one woman in hospital. Mm. As you correctly noted, he was on parole at the time. He seems to have been released in January for what we believe were he's certainly been in jail for violent crimes in the past. He was also wearing an electronic monitoring bracelet, which is part of his parole conditions and is supposed to constrain his movements to prevent dangers to the public. One interesting fact that I think hasn't been stressed this morning, but the police did reveal last night, is that this man actually appears to have handed himself in. He personally contacted what we call the duty superintendent here, who's a police officer in a particular position of coordination authority at any one time, and negotiated with that person for the arrest that was made, and you probably saw in scenes broadcast quite widely last night.
Yeah, okay, so the incident that the Chief Minister, Michael Gunner, says it's not believed to be terror-related. As you say, police have confirmed the man was known to police. Is there any understanding yet of what the motivation for this shooting rampage was?
Well, again, police haven't said anything publicly, but it certainly appears to be the case that the man was looking for somebody at least one of these addresses that he went to. We have multiple reports of him going from room to room at a particular motel looking for a particular person. And
calling out Alex, wasn't he?
That's right, calling out Alex, and avoiding other people who he don't seem to have fitted the profile that he obviously had in his mind. There's a lot of discussion, as I say, unconfirmed, that it might be drug-related, might be revenge-related, might possibly be tied in with a love tryst. I think that will be a key focus of police inquiries today, is trying to confirm what exactly the offender was doing or thought he was doing at the time when he was carrying out these attacks, and also whether this was a unprovoked spur at the moment attack or something that was premeditated and might perhaps have related to events at times past.
Well, premeditation is suggested by the fact that he had a pump-action shotgun. I think that's what it was. I mean, he was on parole. He had an electronic monitoring bracelet. How did he get a gun?
Well, that also hasn't been confirmed. Police weren't able to say last night whether it was a legally obtained firearm or not. Certainly, the fact that he was carrying a firearm does suggest that there was a degree of premeditation. On the other hand, Darwin is a sort of it's an outback kind of a place, and ironically, people do sometimes have guns in their vehicles up here. Also, this guy has had links to clearly had a colourful past, and it's conceivable to imagine circumstances in which he might have been carrying a firearm, which was a relatively minor crime, perhaps, and then gone on to use it for a major crime. That, of course, will prompt questions about, what he was doing with access to a gun in the first place.
Amos, I never really like to sort of point fingers of blame at anyone in these circumstances. The police do a great job in these kind of situations, but are questions being asked about that sort of, how someone with an electronic monitoring bracelet was able to commit a crime like this? Was he not in breach of the area he was meant to be? And how long it took? I mean, he went to several different sites, didn't he?
Well, that certainly will be. Those questions will be asked today. I think the police could probably be commended for bringing this guy in under an hour, but yep. certainly the questions will be asked about why this guy was out on parole, whether he was sufficiently monitored, given he was known to police, given he was known to have a history of what we believe was quite violent offending. What on earth were the circumstances that allowed him to be out on in a position where he could commit crimes like this, whether those be premeditated or spur of the moment connected to, you know, drug abuse or, yeah. you know, personality disorders. So I think that, you know, the top end community has experienced a lot of low level crime over the years and is very sensitive to threats to personal safety. And I think that will be certainly a focus of interest today.
Yeah, okay, and the top-end community must no doubt be in shock by this. It's a pretty rare event. So, Amos, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Amos Aikman is a Northern correspondent for the Australian newspaper. The gunman is in Royal Darwin Hospital at the moment.